You might recall a conversation I had with Jan Gehl, the globally acclaimed architect from Denmark, who has been charged with the responsibility of making Hobart City a more people-friendly place, a more... I don't know, what exactly, Jan, and it's good to see you again. Good morning. What exactly was the brief? What did Hobart City Council ask you to do?
I think what has been the case in Hobart and... Sorry. What has been the case in Hobart and in many other cities is that you do a number of things with the city at some point, and then it's just lying there year after year and being used. Times go by, lifestyles change, whatever. And then from time to time, you have to go back and look over what have we got here. Is it up to the state of art? Is it a good city for the 21st century? And I think in the case of Hobart, of course, the major event which has happened here is the influx of the great number of motor cars which happened in the 50s and 60s, and they have just been staying there one street after the other. There has been made a little mall in the middle, and more and more parking spaces have been laid out. And now the cars have a pretty good time in Hobart. But in many cities around the world, they've started to say, hey, do we make cities to make sure that the cars should have a very good time? Or should we find a better balance so that the people who use the city or those who might use it something more if it was a nicer city could also have a good time? Mm. And I could just mention one thing which struck me with great surprise when I came here first. When I saw these 300-some cars, the luckiest cars in the world, they are the 300 cars which are parked at the waterfront with right up to the water's edge. And these tired cars who have done such good service for mankind, they have been given the nicest resting spot in the world. They can see from their empty cabins, they can see all the way out to the sea and see the gulls and have this fantastic view of the waterfront, which I think in most other cities would by now have been questioned a bit by people who would like to have that view and sit there in cafes and in benches and playgrounds, whatever. And that would be some of the things. I call it a bad habit which has sort of happened over the years that there were nobody there, so I could put my car there. Next day you put it in the same place, and suddenly that's where you put the cars. They have changed some of it, because we talked about it a little while ago, and it is so easy. Actually, they push them 4 meters back from the edge, so the view is almost fine, but they're not in the first row, which is the first step.
It's occasionally impeded by people, of course, for those cars. You have worked your magic on cities as diverse as Muscat and Melbourne, Zurich, Riga, New York, Cape Town, etc. To break that nexus where people have, in this city, in Hobart, been able to park at that beautiful waterfront as readily, as cheaply, and as easily as they have. How do you break that nexus? How do you say there is a better use for this space?
Yeah, generally, it's almost enough to show what other cities have done and what reaction has been in other cities. And there are so many cities now who have taken the broom and sweeped some of the dirt off the streets and improved the cities here and there, that we can easily point to a number of cities and also point to the results that they get more tourists, they get more conferences coming, there are more people moving into the city. And what the businessman is most happy to hear about, that is that the better the city is for people, the higher the turnover tends to be, the more jobs there will be. So that the way to compete with the out-of-city shopping malls is not to try to have more cars parked in the street in front of you, but that is to offer something which is distinctly different from anything a shopping mall can do. If you've seen any shopping mall, you've seen them all. And it doesn't matter if it's in Singapore or in Gothenburg or in Birmingham. It's the same. Everything is the same. Mm. But Hobart is different. And so when Hobart is to compete with these other places, they should refine what they're good at. This is a fabulous city with a fabulous setting, with a fabulous waterfront. What are we waiting for?
All right.
Just to mention one thing which almost broke my heart when I saw it first time. There was this big cruise ship coming in and parking behind a big warehouse down in the harbor, and people coming a little bit bewildered down from the ship and going around the corner and looking for Hobart and finding a hot dog stand. And that was a welcome to Tasmania sort of gesture. And I do think that, say, such a thing that the arrival, how we welcome visitors, is some of the things which are important for the economy and for the reputation of Hobart, and that is very easy to rectify. And so we are planning to have a wonderful walkway along the quayside, and there should be playgrounds for children. There should be places for sitting and watching, and places where you can eat your lunch, or there could be restaurants and catering of various sorts, so that there would be a number of nice spots along the water. And the other thing which is in our report of things we would suggest is that Elizabeth Street should be taken all the way down to the water's edge in a proper way. It should not be a pedestrian mall, but we call it a pedestrian priority street, where you can have bicycles and you can also have the odd car who has some good reason to be there, but who will go in the speed which will be conducive to the pedestrian use.
All right. As I said, there's a link on the 936 Facebook page to the development plan, A City with People in Mind, that Jan Gehl has been working on. And if you'd like to have a squiz and then have a comment on the Facebook page, that's terrific. I just wanted to ask, and this is a conversation to continue, I guess, over the coming months. How beholden is the Hobart City Council or other people of Hobart to adopt this, to not tinker with it, as Australians seem to like to do with the architecture of Danes, but to adopt and embrace this and see if the city itself and the waterfront in particular can be a better, more people-friendly place?
It is my feeling that there's a very strong backing in the city council, and also when we had public meetings like the one yesterday where 300 people appeared to hear about this. And the interesting thing about the kind of thing I suggest is that most of them they're not very, they don't need much money to be done. There's nothing cheaper infrastructure you can do than to make better sidewalks and make a few bicycle lanes. It's much cheaper than making big autostradas or automobile arrangements or making subways and light rail, whatever. So it is in the cheap end, and it can be done in small installments. But in 10 years, wonders can happen. And I think it is interesting to go to Perth and see what they've done in 15 years. They have gradually done a lot of the things we suggested, and now there are twice as many people visiting the city centre of Perth than there were when all this started. In Melbourne, they've done it even faster, and there is well over twice as many people in Melbourne now, having invigorated the place fabulously in just 10 years. So in Sydney, they are working hard to achieve it. They have a long way to go, and they are working very hard. They have started with the bicycle end. We are trying now to get light rail down George Street, so that we will link the two ends of the city with a friendly, quiet, gliding public transportation mode And also we will have, like in Swanston Street in Melbourne, we will have pedestrians and bicycle and trams going up and down George Street. That is far advanced, that program, and that would be the first thing, I guess, would happen. And they are all adamant to do it.
Having recently walked from Circular Quay at the northern end of George Street back to the city centre with a tired child, I would welcome any form of light transport there. We'll leave it there for now, but hopefully we'll have the opportunity to hear your views again and maybe talk about this a little as some of the lower grade and easy, say in terms of infrastructure cost, pieces to implement might come into being. I note that in your report you say Copenhagen has 2,000 car parking spaces in its CBD for 2 million residents. Hobart has over 8,000 parking spaces by a very generous measure for Greater Hobart, about a quarter of a million. It's a quite phenomenal disparity between those two cities, and one with which, of course, a lot of Tasmanians feel a link. It's very interesting talking to you again, and thanks for coming by this morning.